November 2nd, 2008, morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Hope for All Saints. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. No, no, no. Good morning. Very good. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families, and we are glad that you... Good morning up in the balcony. How's everybody up there? Okay. Oh, there. Oh, we'll talk later. We are glad that you are here in worship. We have a special guest in the pulpit this morning. I want to recognize Mr. Charlie Jones for a special announcement.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning. I come to you again on behalf of the Deacon Election Committee, a committee that has worked hard and will continue to work hard at trying to make this process go smoothly. As we have reported to you, we have collected all the names for our nominees. We have comprised that list. We have introduced you to each one of the nominees last week. It comes a time in one's life that you must stand tall and say, wow, I've made a mistake, and I'm sorry. It came to my attention this past Friday that I have failed to collect one of the nomination boxes. And in that box, there was one more nominee that we had left out in the name of Mr. Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins' name is on the ballot this morning. When I found out what had happened, I contacted Tony. I went by and visited Tony. And with grace and with gentleness, Tony has accepted my apologies. At this time, our committee strives to do what is fair and what is right. I would now like to introduce you to Tony Perkins. Mr. Tony Perkins, please stand. Tony and his wife, Neera, have been married for 35 years. He has three children, Carmen, Adam, and Emily. But the one that makes him smile the most is his granddaughter, Reagan. Tony is a sales specialist for Xerox, is an ordained member of this church, and has been a member since 1974. He teaches in the Shepherd class. And many of the items that he is currently doing or has done in the past consist of Scoutmaster, Church Treasurer, Finance Committee, Budget Planning Committee, Denominational Relationship Committee, Sunday School Director, Sunday School Outreach, Men's Small Group, Enlistment Committee, Youth Pastor Search Committee, Baptist men, usher, greeter, and also chairman of our local missions, Tony Perkins. I trust that you will have an opportunity to absorb this information and pray about this information. Tony, once again, I offer a sincere apology to you and your family. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate that information. We want to continue as your thinking about who you want to vote for the diaconate, I want to draw your attention to a couple of announcements. We want to say a special welcome to everybody this morning. We have pew pads that we use every week that we find out who is here. Members and guests alike, we invite you to take those. They're on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite you to take that. Members and guests alike, fill out your name, and check the appropriate boxes and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask that once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask once it gets back to the beginning, if the first person who signed it on your pew could rip out the pages that were used this morning, that would help us as our ushers at the end of the service as they collect that information. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time today. So if you are a child and you're in the sanctuary this morning, we want you to come down right after hymn number 514. We'll have our children's time right down front. Speaking of our children, we are having our Children's Missions Day. This is for children grades 1st through 6th grade this coming Saturday. It is a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina sponsored event that will be held here at College Park. We're going to be having a full day of missions activities, and we hope that any child grade 1st through 6th grade can come and be a part of that. If you're interested in going to that, let me know today, and we'll make arrangements to make that happen. Also, we're in the middle of our Operation Christmas Child collection. This is a Ministry of Samaritan's Purse. We're collecting items to put together Christmas shoeboxes to be sent to children around the world. There is a table as you came in the church outside of Smith Hall with information on there. There's a couple ways that we're asking you to participate in this year's Operation Christmas Child. Number one, if you want to make a shoebox all on your own, we would love to have you do that. What we ask you to do is go by the table, grab a pamphlet. It'll tell you everything that you need to do to make a box. And so we ask that you bring that by November the 12th. I think that's right. November the 12th. Or if you want the youth and the children to make a box for you. There are collection boxes for you to donate specific items. And so this is what the children and youth will do on November 12th is get together and take all that box of materials and make the shoe boxes themselves. So you have a couple of ways that you can participate. If you have any questions about that, I'd be glad to ask you. I'd be glad to answer anything you ask me. So if you have any questions, please let me know. Let me see. Jason. Where's Jason?
Good morning. I want to say a quick announcement about a discipleship study that we are starting tonight at 6 o'clock, and this will run for 5 weeks through the month of November. It's a really interesting study. It's a video-based study. We're going to have some short time of sharing in video, and then also a lot of discussion in the 6 to 7 o'clock hour for all five Sunday nights in November. One thing that's really interesting about this video, and for those of you who are with us over the summer for some of our Liquid study, it's very similar to that. It takes some of Jesus' parables from the New Testament. You look at Jesus' parables in the Scripture, and then you apply it to kind of what's going on in the practically in the life for you and me and the things we're dealing with today. So 6 o'clock tonight, please join us. And if you can't join us tonight, join us next week. And we're gonna do it downstairs in Adult 3. That's on this side of the building, in the basement of the educational wing. The chairs are incredibly comfortable, and we're gonna, no matter what the temperature tonight, we're gonna have it warm in there. So tonight at 6 o'clock, we'd love to have you.
A couple other announcements about tonight's schedule. We are having youth choir rehearsal at 4:30. Want you to know that, but no other youth activities for tonight. Basketball is happening for our children and our youth, and want you to note that every Tuesday night. Other things are listed there on the back of your bulletin. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You have already given us your information on the pew pads, and we appreciate you doing that. We would like to give you back some information. So if you're a guest this morning, we invite you just to raise your hand. As our ushers come back down the aisles, they'll be glad to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as the history of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. We appreciate you coming and joining us in worship today. Before we continue in worship, I'd like to call on Jerry Cook.
Good morning. I'd like to call us in the church conference for a called conference previously announced for one purpose only, for the actual voting for the diaconate. I'd like to go ahead and invite the ushers to come forward. Two instructions for you. On the ballot, you'll note that it says, please vote for no more than six of the 10 names on here. So if you would, just circle up to six. And when you're done voting, fold it in half and then pass your ballot to the center aisle. The ushers will come back and pick those up. This is for members of the church. So if you would, as the ushers come down, raise your hand so they can kind of get a feel for how many ballots I need to pass down. And Charlie, if you will pass the ballots to the choir.
Thanks.
As part of the church voting, it will stay open till tonight at 7. And I've asked Charlie to make sure that the welcome desk is covered, particularly from the hours 6 to 7, to collect any members who were not here this morning but would like to cast their ballot, and so that everybody who wants to would have the opportunity to be included. If there's anybody still needing a ballot, if you would, raise your hand just so the ushers can see you. Okay, if the ushers will come back forward and let's pick up the ballots, please. If there's anybody missing a ballot, just raise your hand and we'll make sure we get you covered.
Everybody's got one here. Great.
If you'll just fold them over and pass them to the center aisle, please. Okay, is anybody needing a ballot, or anybody still have a ballot that needs to be turned in? Great. If the David Page, if you could bring all the ballots down front, I'll take those up. And this concludes and closes our church and conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate all the work that goes into working with the deacons and all that they do, and all that gives this ministry life, and we appreciate all that, all the work that's happened. But now it's time for us to focus on what gives us life, and that is our worship of our God, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so I invite us all now to prepare our hearts for worship.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, when the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Sing that with me. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Thank you, Cindy. We have made it a tradition over the years at College Park on the Sunday closest to All Saints Day to take time as part of worship to recognize All Saints Day as it relates to our church family, to have a moment of remembrance in it and also a moment of celebration. You're probably aware that yesterday, November 1st, was All Saints Day, so we typically recognize it on the Sunday closest to that. You'll see printed in your order of worship a remembrance of the saints. And what we would like to do is to take time this morning to remember those dear members of our church family who have passed away in the last year, since All Saints Day last year, to remember them and their contributions to our church family, and that the ways that we appreciate all the things that they have done to contribute to who we are and what we are as a church body. I'm going to share aloud the names of the saints as are printed in your order of worship. If you're a family member of a person called and you would like to stand and remember your dearly departed loved one, please feel free to do so. And at the end of reading of the names, I'll lead us in a moment of silence and then a prayer in their memory. Let us remember the saints. Juanita Anderson. Lester Bovender. Eunice Dawkins, Evelyn Englander, Bill Fields, Hal Henderson, Moena Jolly, Charlene Kyle, Ethelie Martin, Foy Martin, Catherine McDowell, Verna Sorensen, Joe Stoltz, Margaret Tusey, Silas Wood. Please join me in a moment of silence in remembrance of the saints, and I'll close this in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, there are many ways that You choose to bless us as Your children. And one of the significant ways that You bless us is with the blessing of people. People that You put in our lives and in our church families that show love and concern and compassion to us as friends. But most importantly, they're people who understand Your love and who seek to use their lives for the calling that you've placed upon them. Lord, for the names that we've mentioned this morning and people who have you've blessed our church family with, we thank you. We thank you for the ways that you have used them to serve big and small. We thank you for the leadership that they have provided over the years. We thank you for the legacy they've left behind through their work and through the love that they showed to their family, to their friends, and to their fellow believers. We thank you for all the ways that you use them to bless us and to bless people outside the walls of this church. Lord, help our memories to be strong, and that the lessons that you teach us through these individuals to not be forgotten, but to be remembered. Help us to keep the memory strong and the legacy alive as we seek to serve in the way that others have taught us to serve with their good example. Lord, thank you for blessing us with people, with strong people, with people who love you and who do your work and who help us so much. Lord, we miss them, but as we remember and honor them today, we must thank you for what you have done through their lives. And thank you, Lord, as their fellow church members and fellow believers in Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us to know them and the relationships that you've blessed us with that will make a difference in our life far beyond today. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. No matter what order we do it in, it's always a good time to sing and shout the victory. Both for our friends that we've remembered who are with our Lord in heaven and doing better than we are this morning, but also for the people that we have to celebrate among us. And just as we remember those who have gone on to be with the Lord, I also want to take time this morning to honor and celebrate the saints among us. I found it interesting in my reading about All Saints Day that one of the purposes of All Saints Day includes the honoring of all saints known and unknown. I found that very interesting. And as part of that, we want to celebrate the presence and the contributions of the saints at College Park, those who are still with us, in addition to those who have gone on to be with the Lord. Many of the saints among us are dealing with health concerns and age concerns, and they're not able to be with us in worship on Sunday mornings or on family life on Wednesday night. We remember them. Others are here this morning, and in the couple of hours that we've been here and engaged in Bible study and fellowship and now worship, there are people who have been here taking part in that and leading in the operation and ministry of College Park, and that's something we're thankful for. For those who are not able to be here, who have meant so much to this place and have helped build this church into what it is and do the things in our community and in missions that we appreciate so much, let us remember them and let us reach out to them. You're probably aware that the name that we use for our homebound members is Saints Among Us, and you've probably seen that printed in your midweek messenger, in your newsletter. We use that Saints Among Us, and that title chosen very carefully, and it's very, very meaningful and significant. These are folks that are typically homebound, not able to get out, but people who have meant a lot to this church family, and people who also need to feel the love and the Christian warmth of fellowship that you and I feel probably on a weekly basis that they may not feel as often, except for the others who are reaching out to them. So let us remember them and let us reach out to them. And if you're a person who ever is interested in more contact with our homebound folks, feel free to talk to me about that. I'll be happy to share their information with you. We have some wonderful folks, and they're very appreciative of what this church means to them and the different ways that you all, the church family, reach out to them. For those saints that are not able to be with us today, we remember them, we thank them, and we love them. For those of you who are here and are able to be with us today, we honor that because it is a big deal. My friend Dot Wicker, who's here today sitting in the center aisle, whenever I see Dot and say, "Dot, how are you doing?" she always says, with a big smile on her face, "I'm here." And we always follow that by saying, "And that's a big deal," because being here is a big deal. For those of you who are here, and for all you have done for this church and all that you continue to do and serving in so many different ways, and for what you mean to us and to College Park, we love you and we thank you. For those who serve quietly, what I mentioned, that the saints known and unknown, for those who serve quietly with great impact but with low visibility, and those of you who seek no recognition but just serve quietly, maybe in ways that we don't know, and I probably know more than some about ways that some of you reach out to these homebound members and these other people that may not have been physically present in this building for a long time. The way that you serve others and serve this church, we love you and we thank you. I'm personally thankful to be a part of a church that has people of all ages, because that means a lot to me. I think it means a lot to our church body to have people of all ages, young and old, who are active in the life of the church and who do so much. For young people, this creates great opportunities for us to learn and to grow and to develop in our own Christian life by learning from people who have been there before and done that. We in the technology age, the age of information, young people are eager to learn. One of the quickest ways that we can learn the tool, an encyclopedia that you can get to literally with a click of a mouse, is called Wikipedia. And it's a good resource. But Wikipedia is no match for Peoplepedia. And don't go looking for that online. I made it up. But for people who have lived it, who have been there, who have done that, and can share that kind of love and experience with us and share their faith in Christ and the experiences and what God has done for them, that is so valuable. And I'm very proud to be a part of a church where this happens and this is available to the young people. Both as a church member and in my role working with the senior adults, I'm so thankful for those relationships and the things that I personally learned from the people here, and the ways that those relationships have built up me in my own life. When I sit here, any day that I'm here, especially on Sunday morning, I don't look around this building or this church without being reminded of many different things and many ways that the saints have impacted my life and the life of of everyone that's a part of College Park. I think about the charter members who had the inspiration and the foresight to start College Park down at Crystal Lake, to start a church that could one day do good things and give people a place to worship and a place to serve others and serve God. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that they chose this location. I wonder what the people who chose this location would think, some of them who are not here with us anymore, if they could have been here for the block party last Sunday night and to see the big inflatable games and pony rides. But the big thing was people were fellowshipping in the name of Jesus Christ, and that's a big deal. I think about and remember mission-minded individuals, the people who have gone before us, who have set the precedent for College Park to be a missions church, to make a difference outside the walls of the church and in other countries, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for many practical ways. One of them I can think of right now as I hold this lectern right here is that it was built by my good friend Hugh Wells, who many years ago when College Park needed some lecterns, Hugh said, "I'll take care of that." And he made about 10 or 12 of these. Some of them are still here. Some of them were given to other churches in the community. And this thing, it looks new and it feels new. And this thing is as strong as an ox. You could drop it off of a truck going 60 miles an hour down the highway and it wouldn't even scratch the paint. Hugh, thank you for this. And I use that as just one example of thousands of examples of practical ways that the saints have gone before us to do things small and large to make a difference for College Park. Everywhere around us, from the lectern to the building to the location to the spirit of missions, reminds us of the foundation that those saints who have gone before us have set for us as members of this church to build on that foundation, to worship God, to serve God, and to reach out for others. And for that, I am thankful. And as a final word, I'm thankful that God's will and God's inspiration for us has no expiration date and no age limit. There is no finality in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that for all of you saints, no matter your age, I'm thankful for the service that you are doing, the way that God is working in your life. He's not finished with you, and he's not finished with me. And I'm very thankful for that. To all the saints of College Park, we love you and we thank you.
Want to invite all the children to come visit with me down here for just a few minutes. Come on down. We'll wait for you. All right. Woo. Not everybody's gone on fall break. That's good. Come on. Come on down. How is everybody? Good. Hey, I have a question. What is a grandma or a grandpa good for? Sitting with you. Okay. Giving you stuff. Are you okay? That was Tony Perkins' granddaughter. Bryson. Spoiling you. Yeah. Okay. Those are good answers. What do you think? Okay.
And grandmothers are good for making cookies.
Making cookies. Oh, yeah. What do you think? Take care of you. What do you think? Hug you. Ooh, that's a good one. Grandmas and grandpas, what do you think, Kevin?
They love you.
They love you. They sure do. And that's the best thing of all, that they love you. You know what? There are a lot of people, moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, they're all supposed to do those kinds of things. But did you know that there are a lot of people who do those kinds of things for you all the time? And I want to do a little experiment. Okay, church, this is the audience participation part of the service. Now, anybody in the congregation, if you have ever prayed for, ever given food for a child's event, prayed for a child, given food for fall festival, if you've ever given money to the church, if you have ever done anything to support or work in Sunday school, work on Wednesday night, if you have prayed, whatever, if you have ever done anything to show the love that you have for these children, would you stand up? The entire church is supposed to stand up. See, look at all these people. Do you see them all the way up in the... Can y'all stand up? Can y'all stand up and see all the way to the back, up into the balcony? Look at all these people. Thank you, congregation. You can be seated. Now, how many of you knew that many people loved y'all? That's a lot of people, isn't it?
That is good. That's what we were just talking about. That all in this church, we have people that love us and take care of us. They pray for us all the time. They give food when we have special events here. But there's something that, you know, it's not just what they're doing for us. It's something that we can do for them. I want to tell you a story about somebody in our church. He is in our grade school, in our elementary school ministry. And he was on a field trip with his school. And he decided that, you know, he has a prayer partner, a lady in our church. And most of the time, prayer partners, if you know about them, they're going to give you stuff. They're kind of like a great grandma, grandpa. They just give you stuff. Well, he's in the sixth grade. He decided, I'm going to give something back to my prayer partner. So without prompting by his mom or his dad, he took his own money and bought something and gave it to his prayer partner. I have heard about how that prayer partner responded and just overwhelmed that a child like y'all would do something for them. That's a pretty cool story, don't you think? But it's not just what they do for us. It's what we do for them because God has sent them to us. But what can we do? We don't have a lot of money, but you don't need money, do you? What are some things that we can do for all of them to show them how much we love them? You write prayer partner thank you note. That's a perfect thing to do. What do you think, Reagan? Okay. Giving things. Christian? Yep. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Bryson? Absolutely. But what about something free? How about a hug? Do you like giving hugs? Hugs are great. And telling them thank you. That's what God would want us to do. To remember that all those people who have loved us, we need to show them how much that we love them. Okay? It's time for us to pray. All right? Can you bow your heads with me? I know. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all the many people that you have given to this church, that have given their prayers, that have given their time and their love and their support for these children, for our youth, for all the families in our church. We thank you for all those that are saints among us, for all the people that came before us and that are here in this room. Father, help us, all of us, to remember that it's our job to love each other. It's our job to show each other how much we care. Help these children, help me, to remember to be thankful for all the many people that you have given to us. Father, we remember all the saints down through the years and throughout this world that have loved you so much that they have given their lives. They have served you. Help us to do that every day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go back to your seats now.
Let's pray. Father God, you loved us so much that you were willing to submit to the cross on our behalf. That's a grace so amazing that we cannot understand it. We can only accept it. You have blessed us, and you have given us a beautiful place in which to worship you. Father, I ask that you be with each of us and that we seek your guidance in all the decisions that that are before us. We seek your guidance in our decisions that affect us, in our church, in our work, in our relationships with each other, and with the decisions that we make to lead our nation. We thank you for this opportunity, and we also thank you for the opportunity to share with you our gifts and offerings of the many blessings that you have given to us. Accept these gifts and offerings. We love you. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
By the time I was 18 years old and a senior in high school, I'd been playing in rock bands for 6 years. And so that made me a very natural candidate for technical stage director at our high school. So when our principal came to me and said, Raymond, I need your help. We've got a lot of equipment in there related to lights and sound and all that stuff that I know nothing about. Most of our faculty don't know anything about it. And we need your help. We need you to be the stage manager, to where anytime there's a production in here, you're there to make sure the right things are done with the right equipment. I said, well, okay, I guess. Not knowing what that would get me into. Some of you are nodding your head. You've been in that position before. The two things I remember most, the two impressions that I have the most from that year of production, overseeing, if you will, were two events that happened. One was being backstage at the Miss Hendersonville pageant. That was way more visual than an 18-year-old male should have. Yeah, it imprints, gang. I'm here to tell you. The other thing was a general impression of plays when they would have productions, whether it was a musical or just a dramatic play. And the thing that struck me is when you're behind the curtain, you see a whole different side of the production than the people on the other side of the curtain. You see, there's an illusion that's created behind the curtain. You know, when the curtain closes and the scenes change, all that the audience is able to see is just a curtain. And when they open the curtain, there's an illusion there. But when the curtain is closed and they're changing the scenes, all this activity, all this stuff is going on behind the curtain. You see, what you see usually isn't all there is. It's usually not all that's going on. And there are several accounts in the Old Testament where the veil or the curtain is pulled back and someone is allowed to see into God's realm. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, it describes a scene where Elisha had been surrounded by the enemy, and the servant of Elisha is very upset, very nervous about this scenario, as any person would be with any type of military know-how. And Elisha prays that his servant would be able to see what he knows is going on. And so in 2 Kings 6:17, it says, O Lord, this is Elisha speaking, O Lord, open his eyes, open my servant's eyes so that he can see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant. And he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Remarkable. You know, both Isaiah and Ezekiel were allowed to see through the curtain, beyond the curtain, into God's realm. In Elisha chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Ezekiel in chapter 1 describes a similar snapshot of God's heaven as Ezekiel is allowed to have a vision. Now clearly both of these men were not physically transported into heaven, but they were able to see. The creator of the universe communicated to them in a way that very few humans have actually experienced. In the New Testament we find some of these curtains being drawn to see the activity going on behind. If you look in Mark chapter 1 verse 10 and Mark chapter 7 verse 34, Acts chapter 7 verses 55 and 56, and then Revelation, you see the same type of scenario. And our text today is a similar scenario. Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 through 17. I'll give you a moment if you want to take your Bible out. Revelation chapter 9 Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. Revelation. Remarkable book. Often misunderstood, but a remarkable book in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. After this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" And I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." What a beautiful picture. The revelation. The revelation given to John is intended to offer comfort in times of distress. Apocalyptic literature, despite what you may hear, was written for that purpose. To give hope and to give comfort and give strength. Third world Christians understand that. Probably better than we do. Third world Christians recognize their present situation, especially those who are being persecuted, and they take comfort in the revelation, the call to endurance. I think we as Western world Christians, we spend way too much time. We get entangled in kind of arcane interpretations to kind of predict the future. You know, we use this to try to predict the future. Ironically, Revelation is far more concerned with charting out a clear course for the present. For the present. To offer hope. You see, the future is assured. It's going to work out. God's got it under control. You know, all through we see Scripture, God is still on the throne. Amen? So he's got that part. He's got the future under control. You know, and everyone who's used apocalyptic literature as a roadmap to try to predict the future has failed. It hadn't worked out. It never works out as they predict. But if you understand Revelation as a guide for living, an assurance of reward, an offering of assurance, then it's right on track. This particular passage in chapter 7 comes between the opening of the sixth and the seventh seals. We're talking about the regal thing, not the sea animals, okay? It's a stamp that was offered to documents, okay, to give authority to a document. The king would make a seal upon that. So there's the opening of these seals that's going on, and the tension has arisen and has begun to rise as each seal is opened, and the regular difficulties of our present life kind of give way to tribulation and persecution. So what's going on then is the seventh seal, when it's opened, will give us the briefest glimpse into heaven. And what we get from that is, when that is opened, our eyes, we won't be able to take it all in. It's such a bedazzling, if you will, such a bedazzling that our senses will not be able to absorb it. But for now, this interlude allows us a different way of looking at the universe. And that's what John is offering to us. So in this chapter, in chapter 7, he gives us a glimpse of the real church that includes both the living and the dead, in one communion, linking heaven and earth. Now, if you go back and read the first four verses of chapter 7, you see something's interesting. You see this thing, a vision of angels that are holding back the forces of global destruction, and then they're told to wait. They're told to wait there while the 144,000 are marked with God's signet. Now, some have used this number, 144,000, as a number of limitation, if you will, on God's mercy. What I mean by that, 144,000, according to this interpretation, would say that's all that's going to make it into heaven. Well, that sounds very limiting, and it sounds like it's contradicting, you know, the gospel message and spreading the gospel message through all the world. And those that offer up that interpretation forget the difference that nothing makes. Let me repeat that. What most people forget is the difference that nothing makes. It's not always the quantity of the number that matter. It is the quality of the number that matters. Let me explain. Jews and Christians are not numerologists. Okay? We don't believe that numbers have magic powers. We don't believe that. But there are symbolic numbers. There are numbers that appear. The beauty of the numbers are recognized. And there are numerals that are used, for example, 3 and 7 and 12 that are used throughout Scripture to signify the presence of God, divine presence. The number 7 is often used to signify perfection. And where that comes from was an understanding of their universe. It was north, south, east, west, up, down, and in the full presence of God. That was the 7 facets of their reality. So 7 was that number used to signify perfection. Well, it only makes sense if 7 is a perfect number. What's an imperfect number? Half of that, maybe. 3.5. Okay? So if 7 is the number for perfection or God, then 3.5 is the division of perfection, which would be 3.5, which is often used to signify evil or reign of evil. So if you understand those numbers, then you begin to understand some of the symbolism related to those numbers. Now, we also have to remember that the ancients lacked nothing. The people of the ancient world lacked nothing, and nothing makes all the difference. Let me explain that. 0. That marvelous little placeholder, students. 0. You know, I always argue to mom, well, you know, if she's going to give me $1, I says, well, you know, 0 is a placeholder, has no value, so why not give me $10? You know, it has no real value in and of itself, so just go ahead and spring for the 10. We know that we attach value to 0. And 0 was, even though it was just a placeholder, it is used to express impossibly large numbers for economic and scientific purposes. Okay? Now, the 0 may have been invented by some nameless Hindu genius. We're really not absolutely certain. And we are relatively certain that it came to the Western world about 1,000 years ago. But to a world without a 0, the number 12 is actually very handy, especially for commerce. Think about it. 12 can be divided by 12. 12 can be divided by 6. It can be divided by 4. It can be divided by 3. It can be divided by 2. And it can be divided by 1. So in terms of commerce, it's a very handy number. And numbers like 144, which is 12 12s, and 360, which is 3 times the 0 times the 12, 30 12s, they're also very handy. So to a person who does not think like we do in base 10, a number consisting of 1,000 12 12s would be a fantastically large number. And that number just happens to be 144,000. It's extraordinarily large, but at the same time, it's incredibly precise. So what seems likely is that this number, 144,000, is used to signify that God is going to gather everybody, a huge number, by name, incredibly precise, so that none will be left here on earth. And if you're still in a mood where you want to try to limit where you want to try to limit God, go back to verse 9. And after I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. All of God's children gathered there in front of the Lamb. These are the living Christians. In this chapter, we can see them in heaven, and they look fine. The veil is pulled back, and we get a glimpse, and they're doing fine. They're home. They're good. And this vision is the communion of saints, and it includes people on both sides of the grave. So God hasn't forgotten those who've accepted his invitation, and neither should we. And the message that we get from Revelation chapter 7, as well as the whole book of Revelation, is one of hope. Hope that the people that we've lost during this past year are not lost at all. We know exactly where they are. You know, that is what God has revealed through his revelation. He's revealed that through John's writings. And we also need to remember that it's hope for us as well. Because we know what the future holds. It's been settled. God, the God that we serve, has paid the tab through the sacrifice of his Holy Son. So let there be no mistake. We've seen behind the veil. We've seen beyond the curtain, and God's won the victory. And it's ours to claim. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the victory that we see expressed in your word. The saints gathered around the throne, celebrating, giving thanks, giving praise to you. Father, that's an incredible source of strength and endurance and encouragement to us. Father, help us to read your word with your help and your guidance so that it can offer us strength for today as well as hope for tomorrow. Father, we love you and we thank you for the precious gift of your Son, which makes this hope possible. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning, as we've worshiped together, we've been gathered around the theme of celebrating and remembering those who've gone before us, and also looking at the fact that God has things well under control, and there's hope for the future, and there's hope for us as believers. But if you're not a believer this morning, I want to be very clear with you. God has presented an awesome opportunity for you to have a relationship with him through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. And our invitation to you this morning is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I would be glad to share with you how you can do that. I'd be glad to do that during the singing of our invitation hymn or at the conclusion of the service or any time you'd like to call this week. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. If you're a believer that's here and maybe you've been living a life that's defeated, the circumstances of the last month or so have gotten you to the point where you feel like there is no hope, you're just feeling beaten down, get an offering of hope this morning. Of understanding that God is still in control. And confess to him that you're lacking a little bit in your faith right now. But you want to correct all that. You want him to restore you to a perfect relationship with him. That's the message to you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not a church member here at College Park, you would like to be, I'll be glad to share with you how you can be a part of this fellowship. There's many ways we receive members, but whatever you would like to do, whatever decision you would like to make, the altar is open here if you'd just like to come and pray. Whatever you'd like to do as we sing together, stand with me and sing, please. Would you hear this benediction from God's word? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.